From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is the Morning Edition. I'm Chris Payne, filling in for Samantha Selinger-Morris. It's Wednesday, April 24. Earlier this week, the woman at the centre of the Mushroom Deaths case attended court for the second time. Erin Patterson was arrested and charged in November last year with three counts of murder and five counts of attempted murder in the small-town Victorian case tracked around the world. Legal teams are now focusing their efforts on the timing and location for a committal hearing, which could be impacted by a request from Patterson's legal team to have the case tested in front of her peers in a local court. Patterson has already spent 5 months in custody and may spend many more waiting for a hearing that could be pushed out to 2025. Today, Crime and Justice reporter Erin Pearson on everything we know so far and what we can expect next. So, Erin, it's been months since the alleged mushroom cook killer, Erin Patterson, was arrested and later charged with three counts of murder and five counts of attempted murder. Now, Patterson attended court for the second time this week. But before we get to proceedings, could you just lay out the facts of the case? It's been some time since we've spoken about this.
Absolutely. So mid last year, there was a lunch held at Erin Patterson's family home. She invited members of her former extended family. There was served a dish that contained mushrooms, and the police allege those mushrooms are what led to the poisoning of those family members. Now, we know three of those family members died, one recovered after a significant stint in hospital. But we also know from the police charges that Patterson is also accused of attempting to kill her former husband as well.
96 days after Erin Patterson hosted the deadly Beef Wellington lunch, the Homicide Squad made its move,
arresting 49-year-old Erin Patterson as part of their investigation into the deaths of three people.
In what has been a complex and thorough investigation by Homicide Squad detectives, and one that is not yet over.
And Ian and Heather were some of the best people I've ever met. They never did anything wrong to me. I'm so devastated about what's happened.
Now, Patterson appeared in court in November last year, where the court heard that police needed extra time to analyse evidence seized from her home. What type of evidence are we talking about there?
Yeah, so police had visited her home multiple times. Upon her arrest, they also searched further, taking in specialist search dogs to help them with their investigation. There was electronic material seized during that search, and that electronic material, while we don't know the finer details of what that is just yet, police said required 20 weeks to analyse. Looking at the time frame that's been spoken about in court, they should have had all of that material analysed, compiled whatever they needed to form their case and supplied to the defence team for Ms. Patterson at the end of March.
Which brings us to a court hearing earlier this week. We heard about possible dates and locations for a committal hearing. Now, that's a hearing to decide whether Patterson will face trial or not. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, what we're seeing now is it's been 6 months since Ms. Patterson has been in custody. So we're looking at that time now thinking, you know, when is this committal proceeding going to happen? A committal is also the first time that the defence team publicly analyse the evidence that's been put before the courts in relation to their client. It's where we hear from witnesses, we hear cross-examination of witnesses, and at the end of a committal, a magistrate will decide if there is sufficient evidence that has been presented that could go to a future jury. And if that is the case, he will commit Patterson to stand trial. Patterson remains in custody. So she was beamed in via video link from the Dame Phyllis Frost Centre, which is Victoria's women's prison. She's being housed there in a special section called the Murray Unit for protected prisoners. So she appeared from a rather bleak room, looked like a grey towel over a window, and there was a single chair in the background. She appeared quite emotionless, but seemed to follow the proceedings the whole way through. She was in a blue jumper, glasses, hair pulled back tight into a bun.
And could you just talk us through a little bit about the argument that Patterson's legal team made with regards to where they wanted this hearing to take place?
So the judicial system usually likes to see committal proceedings run within 6 months of a person being charged with a criminal offence. At the end of the day, everybody is and should be presumed innocent, and therefore nobody should be languishing in prison unnecessarily while proceedings are dragging on. Now, there's really a couple of options that can happen. Typically, with a complex and long committal, which we're looking at about 3 or 4 weeks, those hearings will run in Melbourne where there's more staff, there's more courtrooms available. In regional areas, that can be quite difficult. Very in-demand regional areas, they're not staffed as well, and it's very difficult to pencil in a courtroom for an entire month and have no other cases in there. So what was discussed is whether or not the case will get moved to Melbourne or if it will stay at the Latrobe Valley Courthouse. What that means, though, is because it's a regional court that's booked out for months in advance, the magistrate raised the issue that it's unlikely a committal could be held until 2025. That could mean that Patterson would be in custody for sort of 14 months or more before a committal even happens. And then what would have to follow is more court proceedings, a possible trial, quite a lengthy delay. So concerns were raised about that. The prosecution were very supportive of the case being moved to Melbourne, but Patterson's defence team said they had been instructed by her that she wanted the hearing to happen in her local community. She wanted that evidence tested publicly in front of her local community. And, there is a presumption in the judicial system that that is what happens.
So why exactly is it that Patterson's team is arguing so adamantly to have this case tested in regional Victoria?
Yeah, well, there is a presumption that charges are heard and ventilated in the local community where those offences are said to have occurred. It's really important, I guess, on a bigger scale for local communities to also stay engaged with the judicial system, develop trust and understanding of the judicial system. When everything is centralised into Melbourne, which might be convenient for many reasons, but you lose that connection to the local community. We've also got, in cases like this, if we've got a committal running for 3-4 weeks, there could be dozens of witnesses, many of which will live locally in the Leongatha, Gippsland area. So having them travel as well, considerable distance into Melbourne to give evidence is also a really big consideration.
Okay, so it looks like there could be some more delays potentially extending into 2025 and beyond. What's likely to happen, or what could we expect in the next few months? What are the next steps here?
So we are scheduled to go back to court next month, where the magistrate will decide officially whether or not it's going to stay in Morwell or move to Melbourne, which is about 150 kilometres away, and he will set down a date for that committal. So in the next couple of weeks, there'll be a lot of looking at diaries and trying to move things around, figure out who's available and get staff in Morwell, which can be quite difficult. But our judicial system says it's really important that cases are heard where offences are alleged to have been committed. So it's not unusual for them to be moved, but it's certainly the preference usually of lawyers for it to stay there.
Erin, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll definitely check in with you again as we move through this process.
Thanks, Chris.
Today's episode of The Morning Edition was produced by Julia Carr-Katzel. The Morning Edition is a production of The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald. If you enjoy the show and want more of our journalism, subscribe to our newspapers today. It's the best way to support what we do. Search The Age or smh.com.au/subscribe and sign up for our Morning Edition newsletter to receive a comprehensive summary of the day's most important news, analysis and insights in your inbox every day. Links are in the show notes. I'm Chris Payne. This is The Morning Edition. Thanks for listening.